This is the BBC Academy podcast, essential listening for the production, journalism and technology broadcast communities. Your guide to everything from craft skills to taking your next step in the industry.
Welcome to the BBC Academy podcast. I'm Charles Miller. Today we're going behind the scenes of a BBC news programme, Midlands Today, the regional television news made here in Birmingham by my guests in this studio. We have to get a move on because they've got a show to put out today. Well, several, in fact. So let me introduce them and ask them to explain how it all works. Sarah Faulkland is a reporter and presenter on the programme. She began working in local newspapers and then moved to local radio as a drive-time presenter before joining Midlands Today. Hilary McConnell is one of two senior producers. She's responsible for today's programmes, directing the production team and deciding what to put in the show. Giles Latcham is a senior journalist, reporting, producing and editing. So Hilary, can I ask you first how much output you need to produce today and for what time slots?
So we have breakfast bulletins. They're about three and a half minutes long during BBC Network Breakfast. Then we have a lunch bulletin, which is about 13 minutes long. 6:30, we have a 20-minute programme, and then at 10:30 tonight, we have another 13-minute programme. So quite a lot of output to fill during the day. So we're responsible for making sure the stories develop and change, but are there from breakfast right through to 11 o'clock tonight, really.
So for your main programme at 6:30, it's now 10:30 in the morning. How much do you know about what's going to be in the programme this evening?
I've got a rough running order with some stories that I know are definitely happening. I've got some ideas that I'd like to happen, and then there's also always flexibility for stories to break and develop, so you know what you can drop and what you can put in. So I would say I've got about 3 to 4 guaranteed definitely will happen, and then the rest we'll see.
And is that typical, or you're not panicking especially today?
No. I think you panic at about 3 o'clock if you've got a 5 minute hole in the programme. That's when you start to really worry.
So Giles, tell me about the work of a reporter on a sort of daily basis. What are you doing today, for instance?
Today I'm about to head off to Worcestershire to talk to a mother of triplets. Well, they were triplets, but one of her babies sadly died, and she was arrested and accused of harming this baby. It turns out this week, after an inquest with fresh medical evidence, she didn't kill her child at all. So this shadow has now gone away, and she's talking to us about how wrong she feels by the way the police have dealt with her. So it's a question of getting all your ducks in a row, getting a statement from the police. You obviously have to get their side of the story, something from the coroner, going to record that, then going to do the interview, gathering some pictures of the baby, the still photographs that she has, and coming back to the studios probably, I'd guess, about 5 o'clock, maybe 4:30, with a good following wind, and getting it all done and getting it on air and making it look good, and not causing anyone in the gallery or in the production staff too much of a heart attack.
It sounds like a busy day.
It is a busy day, and it's fairly typical in that sense. It is a slightly later job than usual, but you do get those jobs, and you do get stories, as Hilary's alluded to, breaking in the middle of the afternoon, and you have to cover them. You have to get there somehow, and it's my job to make it work.
Sarah, I expect people ask you this all the time, so I'm sorry, yes. But what do you actually do when you're not in the studio presenting the programme?
What we genuinely do is, it falls into two camps, I suppose, presenting. A lot of it is about making the programme your own. So you're quite heavily involved in the production of it. So, for instance, for a lunchtime programme today, I will be reading everything that's been put forward by journalists for the what we call the links that the presenter reads. And I'm quite picky. So more often than not, I won't like the way things are written, so I'll rewrite them in a way that I like to read them. Or maybe I'll read something and I'll think, oh, hang on a minute, they haven't really brought this to alive, this story. And I'll look at what, I maybe go and look at the piece they've cut, and then I'll think, oh, this is so much more interesting, this line, and I'll completely rewrite the link. We also are responsible for writing the headlines as presenters, and making sure that they fit to time, because obviously we have to hit quite tight junctions with network when we hand back at the promos, at the headlines, and also the 1:30 headlines. And yes, on top of all that, you have to look good too. too. So there is there's at least 10, 15 minutes spent in the makeup room. And yes, the other half of the job is to look good and to feel good, to wear the right clothes, to look like you're a presenter that people at home want to hear the news from, somebody that they can trust and somebody that is hopefully easy on the eye as well.
OK, well, let's just pause for a minute so we can get a flavour of the programme. I'd like to play the intro to last night's Midlands Today at 6:30. Here's how it was introduced by its presenter, Mary Rhodes.
Hello and welcome to Midlands Today. The headlines tonight: motorists stranded and schools closed. Flooding brings parts of the region to a standstill, with some drivers risking their lives.
Never try it, it's not worth it. You think your car's going to make it. Even a brand new Vauxhall Corsa can't make it, so don't try.
Water levels have been really high today. We just heard from that driver that she had to abandon her car. Others have had to do the same.
The not knowing is agony. The mystery of a librarian who disappeared in Tewkesbury 21 years ago. Her brother appeals for information.
She doesn't want to come back. That's fine. But let us know. Get some sort of closure to it, you know.
The Wall of Shame. A worker fed up with people using the side of his office as a public toilet posts pictures on the internet.
Social media works. I've been telling the council for months about it. You can only get told so many times, we're doing something about it, we're looking into it, and nothing gets done.
Is your dog microchipped? More than 100,000 owners urged to get theirs tagged or face a £500 fine.
So five subjects were mentioned there out of a total of 9 original reports. So let's just talk about the range of stories here. Hilary, what kind of stories are sort of easy to find on your patch, and what kind of thing do you wish there was more of?
Unfortunately, crime stories are very easy to find on a patch like West Midlands. You know, we have big population, we have some big courts, and crime does feature quite heavily. So it's actually fighting against that, because you could build a programme every day with big crime stories. You know, unfortunately, the murders, fatal accidents, robberies, all kinds of terrible things happening. And it's sort of trying to fight against, because that's, in a way, easy. It's easy to react to.
And do viewers like those kind of stories?
They kind of want to know what's going on, but they don't want to be depressed, because the whole point of the 6:30 programme is to give them we refer to it as light and shade. You want to give them sort of the news of the day. It's a big patch. We don't want to focus just on Birmingham. So we want to get out into Herefordshire. We want to get to Shropshire. We want to get into Warwickshire. So, and different stories affect different people there. So maybe more rural issues. So you want to get that in. And then you don't want to make them feel too depressed, because we are in between the 6 o'clock news and the one show, and we have to bridge that gap. So you do want something that you can end the programme on, that you can end the programme on a bit of a smile, even though it's maybe been a terrible day or there are terrible things, but you just don't want to just leave that as the overall feeling that's happening across the West Midlands.
Yes, yeah, so Sarah, you talked a little bit about writing your own script. Mm. I mean, do you feel that in terms of this sort of light and shade that Hilary was talking about, there is scope for you on this kind of programme to project a bit of personality?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think for anyone wanting to be a presenter, I would say the key is be yourself. Try not to be a TV presenter, but be yourself. And in that, you have to have that ability to bring alive that light and shade. I always say every story in a bulletin of those 9 stories, each story has its own tone. So each story within the sentences of the story that you're reading will have a different nuance, a different cadence, a different tone that will hopefully you can bring out those bits of light and shade. And it's by using your voice, by using your personality. And that's also, I suppose, rooted in what you've actually written. Because if you've been written something that's very formal, and it's very difficult to deliver it in a very warm, authoritative, sometimes, always we hope friendly, but I think there's a difference in tone between the sort of heavyweight stories and the sort of more lightweight stories. So yeah, I think that is where the presenter earns his dinner.
So Giles, from your point of view on being on a regional programme as opposed to being on the national news, what are the sort of pros and cons?
I worked for Network for a year. I was a Midlands correspondent, and I had good points, but it wasn't the best year of my career. And what I really missed working for them was the sense of being part of a team. You do not have as many resources as a network. It's not as expansive. There are not 30 correspondents with 30 separate stories trying to get into 9 slots. You are 6, 7, 8 reporters trying to build with your producer and presenter a 28-minute programme at 6:30. And that means pulling together, and that means a team effort. And I like my team sport. I consider myself a team player, and that's what I really enjoy about it. And in terms of the stories that you do, well, yeah, OK, I'm not talking about Ebola outbreaks. I'm not talking about East-West relations, but I'm talking about things we hope, we trust, matter to people at home, and whatever that story is, there is a challenge in trying to find the best way of telling it. Whatever that story is, generally somebody is sharing with you quite personal, important information, and they're sitting down and telling you their story. And that is, I don't want to sound trite in any shape or form, I genuinely believe this, it's an honor and a privilege, and going out and meeting someone and hearing their story is what we do day in, day out.
And one thing that's changed over the last 10 years is the introduction of social media as a way of people getting news. You've got, Midlands Today has got a very successful Twitter account, 135,000 followers, almost 160,000 people liking you on Facebook. Hilary, how does that change the way that you relate to the audience in terms of breaking news?
Well, we get feedback very quickly on what people like and what they don't like. We also get, for example, the flooding. We got a lot of them sharing their content, and they want us to see what they've taken pictures of or what they've filmed or their reaction to a story, and they want to be involved.
So, yeah, a lot of people get credits on the weather for sending in their photographs, don't they?
Yeah, that's a special new team we've that the BBC's created called Weather Watchers, because weather is one of the issues that people seem to love. That's what we get in our feedback sessions. And so they've created this team of weather watchers across the UK that anybody can get involved in. And then their picture appears on Midlands Today, and it appears on Network Weather as well. If you have a look, they also using the same system. So that's quite nice. It sort of also gets us to show different locations on the programme that maybe we wouldn't get a camera crew that often. So it's sort of all about people go, oh, that's my house or that's my street or my village on the TV, and they sort of feel, oh, that's pretty cool, I'm on BBC One.
But do you feel, as the sort of news editor for this region, that the social media are also your kind of media for telling people what's happening rather than just interaction?
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, you know, we tweet a lot of the breaking stories, you know, because, for example, if a story broke at 2 o'clock, we're not on again for another 4.5 hours. And yet that story could have moved on. So it gives us a way of sort of updating people. People are using their phones a lot more. So we're also thinking about how to get little video snippets onto their phone, onto their tablet, so they can see what's happening more often. We're asking the reporters and presenters to be more involved in Twitter and social media and Facebook. And we're trying to just give a... There's so much that we probably film that never gets into the programme that people are interested in, so we try to find a way of putting it somewhere that people can see it.
So I remember talking once to a television newsreader, and she said that she only got into it because one day somebody was sick and she was plonked in front of the camera. And she was very surprised to find that she could just do it. Do you think presenters are sort of born, not made?
I think they are to a certain extent. And I would suggest that that newsreader probably secretly knew that she would be quite good at it, because I think to be a good presenter, you have to enjoy the spoken word, and you have to enjoy words, and you have to enjoy communicating. And usually you've got an indication of that, I think, when you're growing up. Whether, I mean, I think even when you're at primary school and you're asked to read out in class, you know the good readers from the bad readers. And I think that's something that stays with you throughout your career, whether or not you end up reading the news on the BBC. So I think good presenters are born, not made. I think there's an awful lot you can do with training, with voice coaching, with helping people understand the tone of what they're reading, and because that's what it's all about at the end of the day. It's about making stories come alive with your voice. A good presenter isn't just about performance. Yes, it is about performance, but it's not all about performance. So born but not made, I think.
So let's just turn now finally to any advice you might have for people who'd like to get into this kind of work. Giles, what kind of qualities do you think a person needs to ask themselves whether they have if they're heading in the direction of being a television journalist?
I've made a few notes here in preparation for this one. The two words that stand out for me are curiosity and versatility. So if you're probably not in this day and age opening a newspaper, probably browsing through an online news website, if you see GDP falls 1.9%, you think, oh my God, and you flick past it and go on to the next thing, perhaps you need to reconsider. Look at that story. Just look at the first two paragraphs. You don't have to read the whole thing. Just try and understand what that journalist who's written that is trying to tell you. And go on to the next thing, which might be a horse falling at Kempton in the 3:45, and get yourself around all those different stories. A journalist, it's been said before, but let's bear with the cliche, has to be a generalist. You have to know a lot. Maybe just a little, but about a lot. So keep that sense of curiosity. And when you're reading the story, well, why has GDP fallen? Why did that horse fall? And what does that mean for the next race at that particular venue? Ask the questions. That's the curiosity. The versatility, you're getting more onto the logistics, the practicality of producing broadcast or online news. Can you write? Can you report? Can you sub? Can you use a camera? Can you edit? Now, probably not everyone is going to say yes to all of those questions, but try and build yourself a skill base around two or three of those. Some of those you'll be stronger at than others, but can you do a bit of that as well? The more you can do, the more you'll probably be asked to do, and that will hopefully lead to a long and happy career.
Finally, Hilary, for people who get in touch with you and say, we'd love to be involved in this work somehow or other, what are the things that stand out for you in those applicants that you'd be looking for?
Recently, getting the right address helps. We have had a few letters sent to Pebble Mill, and we've been in the mailbox for 10 years.
That was the old BBC
yeah,
centre in Birmingham.
And these are from people doing postgrad and master's degrees wanting to be journalists. You want somebody who is willing to try. So we get different people on placements, and we get some people come in and they find out that they're not going to be presenting 6:30 on their first day and they lose interest. I want somebody who said, oh, what are you doing? Where can I go? Oh, I could do that. You need me to put a phone call in on that story? Yeah, I'll do that. I'm interested. And they want to learn. They want to get involved in the programme. They know what's going on in the programme. They've seen the programme. They know who to call, how to find numbers, because it is a small team and we are all pulling together and you're all sharing the role of, you know, researching and checking stories. And if you've got somebody come in and say, yeah, I want to do that, or I can help you, that they're gold dust and they will go far because they care and they want to be involved.
Great. Well, I need to let you all get back to work, so thank you very much for interrupting your busy day. Sarah Faulkland, Hilary McConnell and Giles Latcham.
Thank you.
We'll be back with another BBC Academy podcast next week. In the meantime, please follow us on Twitter at BBC Academy or visit the BBC Academy website where you can catch up on all our podcasts. I'm Charles Miller. Thanks to my producer, Roxy Ibrahim-Kahm, and thank you very much for listening.
You've been listening to the BBC Academy podcast. If you want to find out more about this topic or to hear previous shows, search online for the BBC Academy.